Welcome back to this episode of the Strong Kind Podcast. This episode is with Jim Wendler. Jim has done a lot of things in the strength and conditioning field. He is probably most well known for writing 531, which is an awesome resource on training. It's a book that honestly, it changed my perspective and it helped me understand strength training and how simple things can often be. We had a great conversation. A lot of it did orient around keeping things simple, doing things for a long time and seeking to improve while managing our attitude. And it was just awesome. I mean, he's got a wealth of knowledge. And even with, you know, his wealth of knowledge, he still can boil things down to often really meaningful stories and just help people make progress without overcomplicating stuff. He coaches currently at London High School in Ohio. He's the head strength and conditioning coach, and he's a big part of their football program. And it's awesome to hear about him helping young boys, you know, learn to become men via training and football. So you can find him on Instagram at Jim Wendler. You can look up 531 and find the book on Amazon. It was a great conversation. I hope you enjoy it. Thanks for being here. I'm going to be honest. I'm like, oh man, I should have sent like 17 reminders and like really tried to make sure this worked, but it's,
there's my wife. That's what she does. She does all this shit for me. And then before she left, she made sure everything was, oh my God. And I couldn't figure out. And I finally looked at the date that it, whatever. And I was like, oh, no wonder why. So yeah. I apologize.
No, dude, don't. I mean, so, I just like to run these as much as a conversation as possible. I don't really have an agenda other than I just like to ask relatively open-ended questions and let you roll with it. I do appreciate and I love your Facebook or your Instagram. No, your YouTube lives on Friday.
Well, you and 15 other fucking people.
Well, and that's the thing.
Though, I don't care.
I think I talk to a lot of people. Like, so I'm a physical therapist by background. I was a personal trainer and a coach before this. And I talk to a lot of people that they're like PTs and they want to start businesses. I'm like, you got to give so much more than you think you need to give to like get people to just even believe any of the bullshit you're spitting out. And it's going to feel like you're doing nothing most of the time, but you're actually, if you're providing a service and like,
yes.
I just love you. I love you because the fitness industry is so bullshit.
And it's bad. Yeah.
And you're like, you know, it's train people have been training and doing it pretty well for a long time. Try not to mess it up, right? So let's just start there. Like, how has your philosophy evolved over the past like, and really I kind of care about how it's evolved since you really started to coach kids.
Oh, so just for everyone that knows, I live in a small town in Ohio. And I do all the strength and conditioning for the football team. So just so we're clear. So I don't know how many people are in this town, maybe 17,000 or something. I don't know. So it's I think our high school has like 450 kids or something. So it's not tiny, but it's not exactly like I went to a small high school where I grew up and it was like 1900 kids. And that was like, that was a small school to put it in perspective. So how has it evolved? I'll make sure everyone's clear. We train 50 weeks out of the year. It is a very, I don't want to say militant, but I guess we do a really good job being consistent, and that's from the head coach. That's not me. You know, everyone knows whoever the leader is, that's kind of how the ship is being steered. And when I first joined on the staff, like I'm at Ohio State or something, I told, you know, like, listen, I'll be willing to give whatever you want, but like for this stuff to work, we need to, you know, work through the, not just through the in season, obviously, but all the off season. So we do a really good job. And again, obviously a lot of what I've done is based on the consistency factor. And I'm going to tell you, you can get away with a lot, so to speak, if you're consistent, meaning you don't need to drive these kids into the ground all the time.
Yeah,
I post all of our workouts on my forum, and I am telling you, I've heard this a million times. This is all you guys do. Yes, but we do it 6 years because my wife now does the seventh and eighth grade football teams.
Yeah.
So the more consistent you are, the less you kind of have to do. And like, we run year round. Now we just got some snowfall, so we kind of got screwed a little bit. So we have to abridge our conditioning. But our running, if you saw, you're like, dude, seriously, that's like 10 minutes. You know, I'm like, it's like 10 hundreds. Who cares? Let's just run. And it's nothing, you know, we're not doing all these parachute shit because our kids are always in shape. They're never, ever out of shape. In fact, I am willing to bet, you know, once they enter our, you know, as a freshman, like for 4 years, they're running year round. And, but we don't run a lot year round. You know what I'm saying? And even during, I'll give you an example. I know I'm just riffing here.
No, it's good. This is what it's for.
So this is the one thing when I first got there, it was 2016 and I came in during the two-a-days. So I wasn't really, I didn't know anyone. And I was on the field coach that year. Well, after like a week of doing on the field stuff, I told the head coach, I said, listen, just let me handle the strength training, dude. I will do it all. Get this off your, you know, because he's a great guy. I said, I'll get this off your chest. One less thing you got to worry about, because he was doing all that. Plus he's the head coach. Plus at the time he was a teacher. And so that year I took over the strength training, but it was like all in season. And I didn't, you know, I don't know what we're going to do if I didn't build that base before. So it was kind of hit and miss. We had a very bad season, very bad season. I think we won 3 games and I'm not lying, until this year, one of those wins was the worst team I've ever seen in my life. And it was like a 28-21 barn burner. Do you know what I'm saying? And the other win was a double overtime win against one of the crappiest teams I've ever seen too. So it wasn't good. But we, that next offseason, that next week, we started. So, you know, and the head coach comes to me. Now at this time, I'm not friends with him or anything. I just know him.
Yeah.
And he says, and I do this to everyone who asked me this question. He said, what do you think we should change? Like, give me your opinion. And I say this all the time. How honest do you want to be? Do you want me to be? Yeah. Do you want me to sugarcoat it? Or do you want me just, and I just started fucking ripping this. And he looks at me and he's like, all right, well, it can't get any worse. It's the George Costanza.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? You do the opposite.
Just do the opposite. Like, so one of the things like we changed, we got rid of two-a-days. What's the point? Our kids are already in shape. Two-a-days is designed to get people back in shape. That's like antiquated thinking these days.
Yeah.
We also got rid of conditioning during the season. Our kids, we don't have a very big team. So kids are running around for 2 hours. They're fine. They're going to be fine. And we always make a deal with them. We will abridge practice until you screw up on Friday. If you play weak on Friday or something happens, then yeah, we'll change. But we'll make you a deal. We're still going to practice hard, but we're not going to kill you.
Yeah.
So the things that I changed, just from, I guess, that first off season, just like overall, and I'll go into the specifics a little bit too, is, I cut down the lower body volume quite a bit from, when we first started to, when what we do now, quite a bit. Now there's a lot of reasons I think that we needed to. I think one is like the kids' knees and like backs. I never got a kid hurt, but it was like, oh, my knees are sore or my back is sore. And then when you take a big step back, like we're running 3 days a week, we're pushing the prowler one of those days. We do jumps every single day. We do assistance work for the lower body. So I'm like, well, how much squatting and deadlift? Like, is this actually working or are we just doing extra work?
Yeah.
I'm always trying to excise as much crap out of anything. My life is like that. If I see something like I don't need, I'm just disregarding. So that's number one. Number two, this was an immediate change, was due to the low general physical preparedness of athletes, kids, everyone these days. I had to abridge the running right away. I couldn't believe, and I told the kids this. I'm like, you guys got fucked. Sorry about my language, but I'm like, it's bad.
I haven't. This is the Strong Kind podcast, but I have an E next to my name, so please feel free to drop the bomb.
So, I was dumbfounded about the low GPP of our athletes. It actually made me, as a coach, like kind of happy, because I'm like, well, I don't really need to do anything. Just get the kids to run 100 yards.
Yeah,
they're gonna get better. It's like if your kid can't do a glute ham raise, fuck, we just got to get them to do a glute ham raise. I got a kid right now who can't do a body weight squat. So now all I have to do is get him to do, you see what I'm saying? So
yeah,
in a way it was kind of good, in a macabre sort of way.
Well, it's like, it's kind of an analogy for where we are in a lot of ways, is because people think that they need to reach for the top of the tree when the lowest hanging fruit is right freaking in front of them. And they're just, well, they just don't think it's like, hey, most people, and like, we don't have to get political. I don't want to get political, but it's like most people don't get enough freaking general activity and then they eat way too much. And it's like the same thing. And I, that was the way I was as a teenager. You know, we were in the weight room and, you know, I look back and I don't really, it's over. It doesn't matter anymore. But a lot of where my career has taken me is like, damn, if somebody just would have been like, dude, squat to a, do a goblet squat, right? Just like take the bar, get good at push-ups, get like, one of my coaches, and he was a great guy, but nobody thought that I could get fast. I could run forever. Like I was the type of kid who could just, you know, I could just pound it out. Right. But everybody
looked at granny engine.
Yeah. I was like, And I could play soccer but in football, my coach was like, Dave, your first step is so bad. And I didn't realize that I could like just work on that. Right. And that's the type of stuff that I think people are, they overlook, you know, and it's just a lot of it's just antiquated thinking, like you mentioned. Right.
Well, I mean, I could talk about this forever because people can criticize me. I have a horrible language, which I figured out why I have horrible language, but I won't go into that. But there's one thing I don't think anyone can doubt is my absolute 100% commitment to training the kids. I love them the fucking death. All I want them to do is kick ass.
Yeah.
And when I saw how, you know, and then obviously not every one of these kids is like that, but the majority of them are. And I remember the 2018 season, we were just running through people. I think we averaged like 500 yards rushing a game. And most of our starters never played the fourth quarter. So just put that in perspective.
Yeah.
We played a game that year where we took a knee every single time on when we had the ball in the fourth quarter. That's how ass kicking we were. And after one of those games, one of the strength coach from the other side came up to me and said, hey, man, I got to ask you, like, what do you guys do? And I, quick thinking, because I'm not a very quick thinker, said, my only goal is to make my average guy kick your average guy's ass. That's it. Because the freaks are going to take care of themselves. And I can't do any, like, if a kid is 260 and run a 4.3, there's nothing I can do to get the average kid to be able to, it's just not going to happen. But man, I, in high school football, the majority of your players are just dudes, just average dudes. If I can get that average dude to jump on a 40 inch box, to do 10 to 20 pull-ups, to dead, you know, trap bar deadlift 400 pounds, holy shit, we got an army of kids that can do that now.
Yeah.
And that's awesome. So one of the things I this is kind of off track. One of the things, like, especially after the first couple of years, I realized I am not, my wife pointed this out too, I am not there to strength train football players. I'm just getting kids physically better. That's it. I'll let the coaches handle. Like, there's nothing, we don't do we do very little sport specific work other than some cutting drills for agility. But those agility drills you could do with basketball, with volleyball. Yeah. It's just like, listen. And so my goal is like, listen, I always say, I just want a bunch of dudes who are pipe hitters. I don't care. Like our defensive line, we went to the Final Four this year in Ohio. All right. Our defensive line weighed 170 to 185 pounds. That was it. Fucking pipe hitters out there just owning people. And the linemen walk up. They're like, holy shit, who's this kid? Well, all like three or four of those kids wrestle too. Yeah. So good luck.
Dude, they're all wrestling. Mean. So I'm in Iowa right now. I'm in Iowa.
Oh, boy.
And there's a jiu-jitsu studio, right? Like not very far. Yeah. It's all freaking. And I didn't wrestle in high school. It's probably my biggest regret. I go, I used to, I haven't done it in a while. I tore my meniscus doing jiu-jitsu, which was kind of dumb. I get my ass handed to me by guys that weigh 135 pounds.
I know.
And it's like, oh my God. But there's just something, it's an attitude and it's a knowing how to use your body that I had some other guys on last week and we talked about, they're all very like blunt proponents of like, this is just general training. Like and every one of them went around and like, I'm like, what is the weight room for? It's like to develop physical qualities that help you stay healthy to play your sport, to get more reps on the field. Right.
Yeah.
And I didn't, you know, for too long, I didn't think of it that way. And I think everybody likes it's shiny object syndrome. Right. But yeah, because all you're trying to do is if you run faster, if you can stay on the field and if you can learn to like, Again, not a, I played rugby in college, and I was not a physical specimen, but I was intelligent enough to track. Soccer really helped me track the movement of the ball. So I could be there, and my endurance helped me there, and it was just reps. And then I realized, oh shit, like when I actually got stronger, I actually was playing better, right? And then most of it is that, right? It's like, yeah, you just need to be able to be on the field long enough. And unfortunately, it's also an industry, right? Like parents are looking at like, hey, people are taking advantage of the fact that parents will do whatever for their kids, right?
And the parents don't know.
Yes, and exactly. And it's usually like, that's what I love. Okay, because I want to ask you this question. I 531, when I first, I had been doing like CrossFit and all sorts of stuff. I had found Ripito and, you know, I was drinking milk. And I was thinking. And I was
getting stronger.
And then I was like, but I also just was like, man, this isn't fun. Like, I like to run. I like to do some other stuff, right? And your book, the original edition, I'm like, it just made sense from an athletic development standpoint. But it was also, like, simple. But, again, people take that as like, oh, this isn't, you know, this isn't good.
Yeah.
But there's a couple things I want to ask. One of them is, like, I don't remember if you said this, but, like, basically, if people would have actually paid for that book, you would have been like made a shit ton of money, but it's been pirated so many times that you didn't see a lot of the money.
Yeah. The first, someone sent me, this was probably in 2010 when the first book came out. And, you know, I didn't know enough to, I don't know, whatever. And someone sent me a link, said, hey, dude, there's this site that's got your book. And I was like, oh, you know, all up in arms. And I remember seeing how many downloads there were. And then I did the math and I got physically ill.
Yeah.
I mean, I've only been physically ill, like, other than like obviously being sick or from training twice in my life. Once was when the housing crash came and I had my house appraised. I remember I was sitting in my kitchen chair and like, oh my God, I'm gonna puke. I am gonna puke.
Yeah.
And the second time was that. And then you kind of get over that stuff. I mean, dude, it's training's been it's been awesome to me. Like it's given me my life, my wife, all my friends are involved in training. Yeah. My dad and I, my oldest son and I, that's how we really bond is training in football and obviously Call of Duty, but I suck at that. And, I only play with him. So I'm like, clearly horrible, but anyway, so I can't really complain. I mean, yeah, it'd be nice to have, you know, $25 extra million. And I'm sure you wouldn't turn that down either.
I'm not going to turn that down. I just that was an anecdote as somebody that like, it's crazy because I really believe that way leads to way in life. Like you go forth on something and you learn and then that leads to more stuff.
Yeah.
Right. And, you were like an English major, which I also love too. I always love, cause I was a history major and I like, it's crazy because people, well, what did that do to you? Like it helped me think, it helped me learn to think. Right.
Yeah. And well, I can talk about that all day too.
Well, like, let's go there because I think to some extent, that's the type of stuff that I think draws me into people is like this diversity of background that helps you apply is often better than people when they just get down the wormhole and then they can't. The biggest thing for like being a health practitioner is like, do you have social skills? Can you ask?
That's the number one thing of coaching is communication.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, so Dave and I were in California. Dave Tate and I were in California and we would do these seminars. The first day would be like 10 hours and the second day would be 6 hours. And it was just me and him and it'd be like 50 people. It's very tiring after a while. And I remember we were laying down, not together. And we were laying in the hotel room and he's like, you know, no one ever mentions how important communication is because when we would get up there, we'd be able to speak and stuff. I'm like, and we started thinking, holy shit, that's probably the number one thing a coach needs to have, besides obviously having some kind of background. And I always like to tell the story. When I was growing up, I would read anything there was on training. And then I don't know how old you are, but there wasn't a lot of information out there. Like you had to really search.
Yeah.
And I would read this guy who would write all these great articles and very scientific, but I was able to understand most of it. I'm not very smart like that. And I got to meet him and I got to be coached by him. The worst fucking coach I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
And I remember he walked away and I was so disappointed. Now I'm not a rah-rah kind of guy. I'm not a cheerleader. You know, I still try to get the kids amped up a little bit, but it's just, I'm going to talk to you like a human being.
Yeah.
I expect you guys to do this. And I kind of let, you know, my actions, so to speak, my actions speak and stuff like that. But If you can't communicate, it does not matter one bit. If you're not able to talk to a 16-year-old kid who doesn't have a father and his mom's a crack addict and like emphasize a little bit and understand, as well as, you know, a kid who's maybe he's got some cash and stuff like that. Now, I'm very lucky because generally if you play football, all the kids generally have the same mentality, but there's dips and stuff like that. And you said you were personal training. I personal trained for like maybe 2 years. Holy cow. You're a therapist.
You got to spend 45 minutes talking. You got to spend 45 minutes to an hour figuring out what to talk. And most of it revolves around food and shit that pisses people off, but you don't want to get too far down those rabbit holes. And then, you know, it's so it, but communication is like, it's the dial. They use the Spinal Tap, right? Like if you know a lot of information, your communication skills allow you to turn it up to 11 and like communicating and being effective. It
allows you to put the person or team on the right track where you need them to go. And that's, I think there is a huge difference between what I call training and coaching. Training is like when, and it's there, no one's not one is better than the other. Like I still work with some kids for free that go on to play football. And that's different because it's really one-on-one. But when I'm there's me and there's 60 kids. Like you got to herd 60 adolescents and they're all going nuts. And that takes, like, you have to learn how to like work the crowd, so to speak. And like, listen, let's everyone calm down. You, and the other thing as I've gotten really good at is auto-regulating the training based on what I see the kids do and how they feel. And so I'm, you know, I always have a plan. And then this, you know, if I walk in there, and I always like to say, if it's quiet and the kids are just kind of, you know, moping around, so to speak, and no one's talking, then you're going to have to back shit down. Like you can notice it right away.
Yeah.
Other times I go up there and there's like a fucking wrestling match going on. Some kids like hanging off the bands. And I'm like, well, we're going bananas today. So that's another thing that I think you talk about. That's a social skill, is kind of understanding and, you know, reading the room, so to speak.
Yeah. I love that you mentioned reading the room. Like reading the room, there's a lot, people could learn a lot from stand-up comedians because like those guys are like the ultimate. We watched this one over the weekend, Nate Bargatze, and he's a super clean guy and he's in the middle of 1,000 people and he commands attention so well with his timing and his rhythm. And then he's funny. So that makes it worthwhile, right? You could see somebody sucked, but like, I mean, man, and that just tuning into people, man, we just lose sight of that too. Like, hey, how are we feeling? Right. And I think that's one of the big things in like the coaching and the fitness space is thinking that you always have to be something that if you're not on the same wavelength, then like that was one of my things. When you're like working with, if somebody's kind of low, like just meet them where they're at. It's better for you to just be a little bit low with them and like, all right, well, let's just get the shit done and get out of here, as opposed to trying to bring them up, quote unquote, because just getting the stuff done will make them feel better. Right.
I like when the kids are low, I always say, this is our agreement, man. We're going to do this, this, and this, and we're going home. So all I expect is a good, whatever, let's just work on our speed of the barbell or something. And then I need 8 minutes of great assistance work. And then let's just go home. Are you guys willing to give me that? Oh yeah. And then guess what happens to the room? Cause it's like, if we don't run, if we, for whatever reason, we can't run, like yesterday we trained and I knew we weren't going to be able to run. I announced that right away. You should have seen that place. It was like I just wrote him a check for $1 million. Like, what? And I'm like, first of all, I get all mad. I never ask you guys to do that much. So come on. They're acting like I just canceled Bud's, you know, Hell Week on them.
Yeah. A guy that was in that like group that I had, his name's Austin Yoakum, and he's in Minnesota, and he was a strength coach at like St. Thomas, which is a D1 school. And then he went and he started his own place. And he's like, most of the time he's like the best warm-up. So I just get people to play spike ball or we play games. He's like, it's crazy how much it elevates the energy. And then people go train hard. But that's not always acceptable in like, you know, you're at a high school, you have a lot of rep, you have a lot of credibility, like, you know, but like, if he's like, when I was at St. Thomas and if I proposed something like that, I got shat on. Like,
you're not doing your hip abduction with
With
the pigeon wing or something.
Yeah.
Did I watch a and I don't remember, I spent like 2 weeks watching videos on YouTube of so-and-so football team strength coach and stuff. I was very rare that I saw any real strength work or any hypertrophy work.
Yeah.
And I am telling you this, I tell this story all the time. When I first met my wife, Juliet, she knew what football was, but she never watched it. And I am a giant fan of Nebraska football, giant fan. When I grew up, they were the shit. It's unfortunate what happened. We don't need to get into that. But Boyd Epley was the godfather of strength coaching for athletes. So I'm watching a football game, but it's a throwback game. So it's from the 95 season. But my wife doesn't know this. So I'm sitting there watching, and she goes, oh. Now, remember, she doesn't know anything. She understands training and stuff like that, has worked in the industry. Anyway, she's like, oh, my God, no one's fat on this team. They're all jacked.
Yeah.
And this was like an outsider's point of view. And if you look at the physiques and of what constantly a lot of linemen, especially offensive linemen these days, they're horrible. They're incredible. Listen, you don't have to be shredded or anything, but you got to put some muscle on. And that was Boyd Epley's number one goal when he worked with football. And we essentially try to, I always say this, we try to get kids to be able to run, jump, lift barbells correctly with some force, and then we just build as much armor as possible.
Yeah.
Because listen, I'd love to get these kids to bench 300, but if they got no traps and they got no shooting like this, like it doesn't matter how much change we put on the bar, or if we have like a tendo unit, you know, it's like, dude, these kids just need to get some dude weight on them.
Yeah. So, yeah. No, it's funny you said that, because I'm a physical therapist, but what I do is basically like I coach people through the rehab process, because what most people do, and we want to, I actually chimed in on Friday I pop on your YouTube for a little bit, and like one guy was, people just attach their freaking identity to their weight room performance so much, and then when they start to hurt, they're like, oh, what do I do? And it's like,
you talking about that guy kind of towards the end?
Yeah, this is like pain sucks, right? But we make it worse by like making meaning out of it that we don't need to. Like, hey, if you're deadlifting and squatting three times a week and you feel like shit, it's probably because you're deadlifting and squatting three times a week, right?
So there's a lot of clues.
Yeah, it's like, do you want the outcome or do you want to do the thing? And I'm definitely a guy that wants to do the thing. I accept that. My anxiety comes out in my I'm going to go just drill myself in the dirt. I'm getting a lot better with that with the help of just repetition and like, you know, I think that's where mentorship comes in hand. If I had a guy like you in high school, be like, dude, you don't need to do that much. Like you can get better. You can get what you want if you show up three times a week and work your ass off, and then you go run, you know, you go run and you go eat, like you're going to be okay. Right. But one of my clients sent me the Nebraska 90s era videos. He's like, this is what I want. I'm like, all right, this is cool. Like, let's fucking work on it. And it's, dude, it's simple. It's jump, sprint, freaking move the barbell fast and get as jacked as you can. Yeah. And that's a pretty good equation, but for some reason we stopped trusting that, right?
Well, I think a lot of places, it's the new and shiny thing. And the other thing I think is a lot of that stuff looks like it works really well because you have a five-star athlete who's already amazing.
Yeah. It's survivorship bias, right? It's like, hey, you know, it's not to crap on starting strength again, but when I read it's a great program. But what I thought was going to happen to me no matter what is I was going to go through 16 weeks and I was going to be squatting 405 at the end of it for five reps. It's like, nah, hey, dude, you weigh 175 pounds. Like, you're starting this journey at 185 for your squat, right? Like, that happened to that one genetically gifted freak who was going to hurt me no matter what, right? I do want to start with you talk a lot about your books, and even just you bring up, like, you were a pretty inquisitive – inquisitive and curious, but like you love the weight room.
Yes.
What stemmed that? And like, Do you like, was it good? Was it bad? I mean, I think it was good. It was overarchingly good. But did it ever like make you kind of do what I was talking about, where you know, you ran your head into the wall with stuff because you were being stubborn or XYZ?
Yeah, I mean, it's the reason why I started training was first, like, I grew up, you know, with the 80s Arnold Schwarzenegger Rambo stuff. So like strength was awesome. It's kind of changed over the years. So that's number one. Number two is I realized, like, all I want to do is play college football, man. That was, to me, the pinnacle of greatness. I love the pageantry, the rivalry, all that stuff. And I was pretty, like, not to sound like I was super smart, but I looked at the guys playing. I'm like, I don't look like any of these guys, you know, and I was a fairly good athlete, but I wasn't like all state or anything. And when I found out that this getting, you know, lifting weights and, you know, running hills and stuff was going to give me an edge, it was like, well, looks like I'm going to go to the NFL because no one's going to outwork me. No one's going to do all this stuff, you know? So that's what really got me obsessed with. I just wanted to play college football. And then, you know, when my sixth and seventh grade year, I ran cross country. I did okay. I made it to the state meet, but I didn't like place, you know, in the top 20 or anything like that. And then between my seventh and eighth grade year, my dad, because I was begging him to get me to the weight room.
Yeah.
And he,
which at that time, and even still today, but at that time, it was probably like kids shouldn't strength train. Was it that way still? Like,
if you were a football player, you could.
Okay.
But, you know, it was like, I was the only kid that did it, but it was a totally different time too. So my dad sat me down. He said, listen, if you start this, you cannot quit. I'm like, all right. You know, and I always say, boy, you kind of fucked yourself on that one, buddy. So that was the summer between my seventh and eighth grade year. And I remember the first day of school, I was, you know, walking through and someone's like, holy cow, what did you do? I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, dude, you look giant. And then I went from being a cross country runner to being the fastest kid in the school. And I was like, holy cow, a little stronger, a little faster, you know?
Yeah.
And then that year I was also able to play basketball and wrestle, because those seasons usually, so they spaced the seasons out for whatever reason. And I made it to the state meet in wrestling, never wrestled before in my life. And it was just because I was stronger than, you know, once I got to the state meet, it's over with, because those kids are strong and technical. I would just throw people around, and I, you know, my football performance got much, much better. Now the thing is there is value, I really believe, in that insanity training. I think there is, and I see it. I think it gives the average person, like I was, not saying I was horrible, but I got like one Division I offer from the Air Force Academy. But I think it gives you some kind of mental edge that I don't think can ever be replicated. And we have, you know, I've had a couple kids come through where they will do more and more and more. And it's like, it's not, maybe it's not helping them like I would like to, but it's giving them some kind of edge. And I think that is super, super important. Now, obviously, if it starts, you know, really backpedaling you, there's things, but you know, there's obviously, you got to be careful with it, but I will never discount the dude who wants to grind himself in the dick. The problem is everyone thinks they want to do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Until, you know, I remember my junior year of high school, I didn't tell anyone my left knee was basically the size of a softball.
Yeah.
And I was like, I can't, if I stop, I'm never getting a scholarship. If I stop.
Yeah.
And I remember I was running track and I just fell right over. I couldn't move. And my body's like, dude, I've been giving you massive hints.
Yeah. Massive and that's like the thing that I overarchingly want help people to understand is like your body's it's a pain, and this stuff is a blunt instrument. But if you learn to listen, and that learn to listen to your body is such a, like a, what the hell does that mean? But like,
yeah, dude, I know.
You know why joints swell? Because they're overloaded. You know why like your back hurts? Because it's overloaded, right? And it doesn't mean you stop continuously. And it's like, you know, hey, like one of my buddies he's a really good power lifter, right? He's like a good 100 kilo power lifter, but he hasn't grasped the fact that like he can't squat 90% as often as he used to, right? Like, it's like, dude, and you can probably still maintain your strength squatting 70% on a regular basis, right? But like it's his identity. It's like, if I don't have five plates on the bar, then I'm not squatting heavy, and that's the hard part, right? And
that was the that it's that's you know the one thing you talked about, and obviously everyone who's kind of lifers in this world, so to speak, you come to that point where your body is just rejecting you, so to speak. And I remember I had because I got in a really bad motorcycle accident, and like I couldn't do a lot of stuff anymore. And I remember, like, you know, of course I'm like, I still want to do this and this, and I took like a giant step back.
Yeah.
And I said, well, what am I really missing? Like what do I, because like, yeah, my identity's tied to this. Of course it is. Like, I'm not ashamed of it. No. But was it because I was squatting 1,000 pounds, or was it something else? And I realized it's just the work. I just want to do hard physical work.
Yes.
And I'm like, so I was like, okay, so what can I do other than that? And that's when I started doing all this other, you know, different stuff that wasn't heavy squats and deadlifts and benches. And I'm like, it was a whole new world I hadn't even touched yet. And so now it's, I still have to be smart about it. You know, I can't be a total idiot. But it, the, I'm not, I don't name names of some of the people I've worked with, but I worked with a couple dudes, and I, you know, I squat and deadlift them as part of their general physical training. And they weren't world beaters at all. Shit that I was doing like in high school.
Yeah.
And I was watching them do other stuff, and I was like, dude, they're infinitely stronger than I ever could be. And I was like, so strength is not just the weight on the bar. It's other shit that you can do physically. And that's when I really shaped kind of how I thought, how I thought strength is. Now, that doesn't mean you don't do those lifts and don't try to push. But I'm not obsessed with numbers. Like I tell the kids, I do not care what weight's on the bar. As long as you do it with purpose and you do it correctly, I don't chase weights. Our training maxes are so horribly low, you would laugh.
That's kind of my biggest thing I'm always kind of referencing with you in my brain. It's like, what's the least amount of weight I can put on the bar to make the most progress? And that it's the same thing. Like, what's the most amount of calories I can eat to make to lose weight? Like, but people, we don't like that. We weirdly think, oh, I got to go harder, right? Or I got to do less, you know, and it's freaking weird, right?
And the thing is even if we use the light training max, it's not like our workouts are easy.
Yeah.
Like we have a standard, and there's bar speed. I want effort and all that other stuff, but you're just able to, you know, this is train harder for a more consistent. I don't know.
Yep.
So I always, you know, this past year, after our final regular season game, I had our freshmen, who are probably our strongest class we've ever had. The majority of their trap bar deadlifts were probably around 205 to 225, and maybe a few sets were around 245. So that's 10 weeks of them mostly doing sets of five at 225, but with emphasis on, like, listen, we're going to control on the way down. We're going to hold at the top, 1 1,000, 2 1,000, bam. We had 11 freshmen deadlift 300 for 10 or more reps, or a little heavier than 300, just using 225. Yeah. Now that's, but the hard thing is I have to keep my ego intact. I want my kids to be strong. I don't care now. I'm like, I just want greatness. I know it's going to carry over.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, like, our kids are never sore. I mean, I can't say they're never sore.
They're less sore, and they can train harder.
So if you screw the kids on Monday with training, Wednesday is going to suffer. Yeah. It always happens. And now you just lost a whole training day. So,
I wrote out, not to get into the physics of it, but I was like, because I have talked a few people who are just, they're very much like, the output is what we care about, right? And force equals MA, right? Force is strength. Yes. Mass is, but the multiplier is acceleration. It's the velocity of the bar, right? So if you're lifting 225 and it's slow as shit, then, like, you're not putting that much force out, right? Where if you're doing 225 and it's moving fast, then, like, that's, it's both matter, right? But the one that people so objectively go after is weight. And I do it too, because it's fun to add weight to the bar. But then when you see how shitty it looks when you added that 15 pounds, you're like, oh shit, you know? So.
Well, the other thing I do too, I'm training the kids. I'm not testing the kids. Now, we obviously want to get certain reps and stuff like that. But give me 2.5 months and then we'll test your trap bar. And then from then on, this happens all the time. You know what? Just tell me what to put on the bar. I don't even care anymore. I know it's going to work. So
that's where you want to get, right? Because then it's like, and it's crazy. I coach a decent amount of women, and it's funny because when they take their brain about out of how much is on the bar, they lift so much better. And they're like, you know, it's like there's less like this anxiety of what it is. And it's just like, that felt good. Yeah, like that was actually 15 more pounds than you've ever done.
And it's supposed to feel good, you know it?
Yeah, exactly, right? And so in our day and age, there's a lot of BS about mindset. And don't get me wrong. I think like having a good attitude, having an attitude of like growth and like kind of what we were talking about earlier, like, my best strengths are also my biggest weaknesses. Like I like to work. I like to do these things. And like, that's kind of sounds virtue signaling too, but like, I was up at 5:30 this morning cause I was going to go play basketball in the morning and then it got canceled. Yeah. So I was frustrated, but I love to do this shit. Right.
Yeah.
But it's also, that's the stuff that like, I talked to a lady, I did a consult with a lady, she's had a shitty situation. Her hip's been bothering her for a year. Right. And everything she's telling me, it's just like, you just train way too much. You train 6 days a week and you're trying to fix yourself. Right. She goes to a doctor. The doctor says, he diagnoses her with something and then says, we're going to do PRP, take 6 weeks off of training. Right. Totally fine. People can do whatever they want. If I would have just been like, hey, take 6 weeks off of training, she'd be like, fuck no. Right. And so, but it's like, there's a mindset and there's this like self-awareness that I think training has helped me cultivate more than anything else in my life, even though I suck dick at it. Like I'm not that great at anything. Right. But I do love to go run hills. I love to push the prowler. The thing that I would say, I'm 36 years old. You kind of mentioned that earlier. I don't really look 36. I don't even know what 36 looks like. I look like I'm 14 years old sometimes. If I shave this, I look like 14 year old, but I've gotten back into sprinting and jumping and in combination with just lifting for enjoyment and still pushing. I feel freaking awesome.
I know what you're saying. Yeah.
I feel freaking awesome. Right. And
but you just find out there, that's how you train athletes.
Exactly. Yeah. And I went around looking for the magic bullet and then I'm like, oh damn, it's like right in front of me. Right. Just give me your take on that and like why we're so dumb. Maybe that's it. Why are we so dumb?
Well, that's a very like an American, work ethic kind of thing. Like the Puritans, like, harder you work. Now there's a lot of truth to that too.
There, you got to work your ass off. Cause if you don't work your ass off, it takes, like, if you don't work your ass off as that high school kid, you don't get the opportunities you got.
No.
Right. But then another level where it's like you got to be smart about what you're doing so that you can keep.
Yeah, and I think my wife coined the term, not like she's the only one, but she says consistency is our superpower.
Yeah.
And I think, doing things right is great. It's like dieting too. It's great to eat a lot, if you're trying to gain weight. But are you doing that? How many years are you doing that for?
Yeah.
For how many months? And I remember one of the first times I read what I would consider like really good training information, I couldn't believe how little they were doing. This is when I was a freshman in high school. And, but that allowed me to train, 4 years without taking, not every day, but I train in the weight room Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And it was, so my working hard wasn't just that day, it was over the 4 years. And I think that needs to be understood too. I always say we always want to live to fight another day. And one of the ways that we do that is I give the kids very few things to do in a weight room. I just expect you to kick ass at those things.
Yeah.
So they're able to still give great effort. And I think it's for a young athlete, I tell this, like, you have to learn how to find hell when you're doing some of these lifts. Cause they, it burns. I'm like, dude, you had like, and I'll coach them through a set. They do 15 more. Oh, so that's how you work hard. That's how you work hard. So I think part of the thing is if you are going to have that crazy mindset, maybe just do less, but just do what you do better. I guess that's kind of one of our, and I tell this to the kids all the time. I said, every team we play does squats, does some kind of pull, like power cleans or deadlifts, some kind of squats and benches and pull-ups and all that stuff. So what separates us from everyone else? There's two things. It's one, we're more consistent with them, and we do them better than anyone else.
Yeah.
So when you pick up that trap bar, I don't want to see you shitting like a dog. Everything has to be perfect all the time. And God, that's all I ask from you guys is perfection. That's it.
Yeah.
But, so I think that needs to be understood. It's the, and I think that can contribute to the that kind of mindset where you're still, it just takes a little bit of time.
Yeah.
Instead of like, oh, I ran 5,000 hills today. Well, fuck, dude, now you're not going to be able to do anything. But like, listen, imagine how many hills you can run in 4 years.
Yeah. So, yeah. Well, and it's like, I go, so there's a, there the rugby fields are 5 minutes away from my house. And I take my dog and I run an 800. And then I just run 10, like quick 10 meter buildup sprints. And then I run 40 meter buildup sprints. And I do some jumping, like some just bounding and just some playing around. 15 minutes. It's freaking awesome. I feel good. Kick my butt. Chase my dog. My dog gets happy, right? Which, you know, and then I'm done. And then I feel pretty good for the, because I basically do Monday, Wednesday, Friday as I lift. And then Tuesday, Thursday as I go run. And then I feel pretty good. And Saturday, if I feel good, I dink around.
Yeah.
And have fun, right? But I also, I think I finally, maybe I had a kid. I had a kid 9 weeks ago, first kid. And it's given me a lot of perspective. And it's like, what's this for? It's so that
You had a
yeah, so I had a child. Yeah, sorry, I didn't say that very well. I became a dad in November, right? And it's like, what's this for? Like, yeah, do you want to get stronger? Yeah, do you, but like, what you really want to be is like when that kid hits 16, that you're still freaking playing, so that if he wants to, you can shoot hoops with them and, you know, do that.
Yeah, kind of stuff. And the other thing is, man, they're gonna model yourself. You know, I see my youngest son. You know, he's 13, so he knows everything. You know. Yeah. I remember he's like, Dad, I'm so sore. You wouldn't understand. I was like, dude, I've been sore for 40 fucking years, dude.
Yeah. Well, and so that's the one thing I kind of want to touch on really quick is terminal. Have you ever heard the phrase terminal uniqueness?
No.
So terminal uniqueness is kind of common in like AA circles. It's like people who they think they're so unique that the program's not going to work for them. Right.
Yeah. It's a form of narcissism.
Dude, right? It's you can't look at your situation and be like, oh, somebody else. This is kind of one of my biggest revelations in life is like somebody, and you might have said this, I don't remember where I got this, but like somebody somewhere is doing way more with way less than you and enjoying it. And you think like you can't do it. Right. And it's like, and so, you know, and I've been pretty low, you know, I probably default towards anxiety and being low, but those are just states that humans go through. Right. And to think that nobody's ever experienced the things that I've experienced, at least in some way, shape or form, is pretty freaking narcissistic and like egotistical.
Yeah. And well, there was a, go ahead.
No, go ahead. It was you and Dave Tate and Ray, is it Rhodes? I don't remember his name, but you basically said it was Matt Rhodes. And it's like, I love this quote. And it's like, everybody wants to change the world. You know, everybody goes around trying to change the world. And when you figure out that all you can do is change yourself, that's when life actually starts to get good. Right. And that's like freaking money right there.
Yeah. The, we had a quote that I got from a documentary about punk and hardcore bands that now were, the guys were older and they had kids and now you're the authority, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And this, I think it was the singer from Pennywise who said, and I put this on a bumper sticker or whatever we sold. I said, if you truly want to change the world, raise good kids. That's how it's done. It's not screaming into a microphone and doing all that stuff. One of the things that always stood out, like the terminal uniqueness, is I was listening to a Navy SEAL talk and he's like, you know, they get assigned like an officer, like the buds class gets assigned an officer that kind of takes them through different stuff. And I don't want to say a mentor, but whatever.
Yeah.
And he goes, right before Hell Week started, we were in a classroom and he said, listen, guys, it's going to be hard, but listen, lots of guys have passed. It's not impossible.
Yeah.
And the guy that was talking was like, dude, it was like the first revelation. Like, oh my God, I can do this. Like a lot of people have.
Yeah. Yeah. When September, I was like I was in seventh grade when September 11th happened. And I was very much like the hard worker type of guy. Like, and I saw Navy SEALs like storming stuff and like right after September 11th, I just, I like, and the problem was I said I wanted to do it so many times that I just pushed out. Like I got to 22 years old. My parents told me, like, my parents were like, go to college. And then I just kept kicking it down the road. Right. And it is what it is, but I have really taken a lot from the dudes that they see. They're just the best dudes in from the SEALs, like, are just normal dudes who figure out ways to adapt. Like, that's the number one theme of those, that type of mythology. It's like these, it's the guy who they weren't the biggest, strongest guy. They were just the people that adapted the best, and they worked together with other people. And I'm like,
they adapted, they endured.
Yes.
And just
an awesome analogy for most things in life, right?
Yeah. And one of the things I got from Andy Stumpf, I think his name is.
Yeah.
Is they asked him how he got through buds and stuff. And this is, I tell the kids this all the time. He says, I didn't look forward other than just to my next meal. What's the next thing I got to do? Yeah. I tell that, like, listen, we got to squat. We got to do this. We got to do this. But let's just worry about the warm up. Let's have a really good warm up. And then we're going to come together. Then we're going to whatever. And I said, just worry about the next set, the next rep, the next play. Of course, that, you know, really ties into football. But I'm like, don't fucking get all anxietied out, man. It's going to be fine. You guys have survived everything before with me.
Yeah.
So, dude, especially when we do the prowlers on Fridays, the new kids, like, oh my God, because it's not easy. And look around, dude. There's fatties all over. They're fucking kicking ass here. You're going to be fine.
Yeah, that's powerful, man. I think that's also, it's, you know, I do, again, like, people have cliched the hell out of everything, but success does leave clues, right? And again, and if you're willing to, like, endure that, it's pretty powerful. And that's ultimately, like, you said it, like, training has given you a ton of stuff because you put effort into training, right?
Yeah.
And that's really cool. And all right. So really quick to wrap this up. I'm going to ask you an open-ended question.
Yeah.
But what if you're going to give, let's say, a 15-year-old kid advice, like, knowing what you know now, like, hey, man, and they're actually, and you know they're going to take it, right? What do you say? And, like, about how do you get strong? What are the things to remember? What is your advice to that 15-year-old kid who's actually willing to listen to you?
Wow. So, I mean, I guess I'm kind of, I got a 13-year-old kid. Like, if we're just talking, like, practical stuff too, as well as kind of bigger picture stuff. All right, so we'll just break this down. One, don't worry about the barbell weight. Worry about execution. So that's number one, which that's why I tell the kids, we Olympic lift our squat and bench, or squat and deadlift, meaning we just want crisp reps. Bench press, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
If you're like, let's pretend they're football players, the one thing I always say is we bodybuild our upper body and we athlete our lower. So running and jumping, squatting fast, make sure your deadlift is strong, stuff like that, or your trap bar, I should say. So that's number two. Number three is have some balance. And so if you suck at running, you got to get that taken care of.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean you have to be running a, you know, 4:5:40, but be able to run, have an engine. Listen, I tell this to people all the time. If you're not Johnny Sprinter, get stronger, you're going to get faster.
Yeah.
But if there's a conditioning thing that you like to do, you're going to get better overall, just overall conditioning. Like, if you just like to run 400s and 800s, fucking do it.
Yeah.
Do it. Don't have to do everything everyone else is doing. Just raise your general, we call it, oh my God, raise the floor, not the ceiling.
Raise the floor. If you raise the floor, the ceiling will probably go up with it.
Yeah. Right? Man, I can go on and on. If another massive practical thing that has helped me, like, specific, man, if you can find a steep hill to run, it changed my life. I went, my speed and strength skyrocketed with running. It was very steep hills. Holy cow.
If it was good enough for Walter Payton, it was good enough for all of us.
Dude,
right?
Walter Payton, number three. I gave my oldest son, who's in college, I gave him his fighting weight. So he was, I think, 180 when he went to college. I said, listen, if you dip below 170 or get over 190, you have to make some adjustments. Now, if you're 190 and still shredded, fine.
Yeah.
But don't let your body weight get out of thing, because no one gives a shit how much you weigh. No one on the sports field. No one. So, and I tell the kids, I'd rather have you at 215 pounds, be able to do everything all the time with extreme hatred and violence, than being 245 lean on a guy for three plays and now you're gassed. I can't tell you how many times we've played teams physically, we're much bigger and we just run them right in the ground. Just so everyone knows, we don't pass the ball at London High School. We just run the wing tee and we beat the shit out of teams. And that's our line. You know, we've had, just so everyone knows, we've had two Division One players in 9 years. That's it. Most of the kids just real good, you know, average kids, so to speak.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Hold on. Whatever number I'm on, I think it's super important that the kid reads. And I don't care what he reads. I don't care if it's Harry Potter. I don't care if it's autobiographies. I think reading is one of the most important things you can do.
Dude, I'm fucking glad that's on your list, because reading, this is probably my biggest pet peeve.
Process things in your mind.
I have four books going at once, and because I like school. And there's no better opportunity than to just learn from people that are smarter than you by just picking up a book and reading five pages, right? And
well, I get to have a conversation with someone.
Yeah.
That's where I look.
Yeah. It's I just
one-sided, but
I mean, but when people like are like, this is like, I don't like to get on people, it's like, I'm not much of a reader. Well, like, fucking get on it. Listen to stuff. Well, you gotta feed
read
your 10 mind.
10 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah,
just
it's huge.
Yeah, and this goes into my next one, is develop as many good habits as possible as early as possible. Now, I think it's great that Jocko Willink is putting that stuff, but you don't need to wake up at 4:30. Wake up at 6 a.m. Learn how, like, be on time. Get your work done, you know, for school. I think that's super important, even if – and just get the grades. You don't have to – you know, I always tell kids, like, listen, if you're not good at taking tests – or don't feel like you're very smart, just sit, go to class every day, be early, sit in front. The teacher's always going to give those kids the benefit of the doubt, but show up on time, hand in your stuff on time. That way, like, you got your ass covered, so to speak. This is, you know, looking forward a little bit.
I think it's one of those things that I learned in college, because I went and dicked around my first semester. And then what type of person are you going to be? Like, are you going to be somebody that just, like, tries? Or are you going to – and I was kind of disgusted with myself, which is, you know, I had the foresight at 19-year-old to be like, come on, you piece of shit. But, you know, and then I started going to class. I didn't miss – I just said, I'm just going to show up every day, right? And it freaking changed me in a lot of good ways. Didn't mean it was easy, but – and I wasn't a dumb. I kind of thought I was dumb. Reading books and showing up to class helped me realize that I wasn't really dumb, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And the other thing, and when I was a kid, I was super stressed out about, like, where I was going in my life, what I was going to do. And I tell my oldest son, who's in college, and then in Mason, or in James, my youngest, I said, listen, don't worry about where you're going. Just do the good work, and your path will develop on its own. So just worry about the here and now. Worry about getting, you know, if you're working, you know, if you're doing DoorDash, you know, be polite, you know, just whatever you do and do it well, it's, your path will go somewhere. And it's, you know, I thought I had my path all mapped out when I was like 20 years old, and I finally got there, but the road I took was fucking crazy.
Yeah.
It was bananas.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, as long as I just do this, this, and this, and just every day, just go do what I need to do, it's going to work itself out. Now, it doesn't always do that, but, you know, even with my goal of playing college football, I just trained. I trained as hard as I could, and I tried to learn the game and stuff like that. And I finally, and I tell this story in my, I wrote an article for T-Nation called The Walk-On. And long story short, I walked on to the University of Arizona's football team. At the time, we had the, you know, it's a pretty big, you know, we were always very good, not, you know, Alabama or anything. And I was just, like, pushed to the bottom of the barrel. And I never didn't get a shot. I got really sick. I had Graves' disease. And so I missed an entire season. Long story short, I just kept on going. Now, I had some bad days, man, you know, but I showed up to class and kept on lifting, kept on running, whatever. So on Thursday during the season, we always have what we call the Scout Bowl. Everyone that doesn't play on Saturdays, they play in a big scrimmage. Still a walk-on, barely get to play in this thing ever. Well, all the running backs at the time either were hurt didn't want to play some kids left so they wouldn't have to scrimmage. And I was the only one. And I remember that Dino Babers, the coach, says, "Well, Jimmy, you're up, buddy." And I ran like you've never seen. I'm not scoring touchdowns. I cut my head open, so I looked like I was a black metal musician, just blood everywhere. I always cut my head open in football. And I ran like it was my life depended on it. And yeah, the head coach came over to me after this. Now, remember, I'm the only running back. And it wasn't like it was offense versus defense. It wasn't like team A versus team B. So no one came off the field. You're just going. You know, so after I score, I would still have, or if I, you know, whoever scored, I'm used to get right back on the field. And I was gassed, man.
Yeah.
And the head coach came up to me. He's like, "For as long as you're here, you're fucking traveling, you will play."
Yeah.
And I tell someone, like, listen, I had no idea when I woke up on that Thursday morning that this was my one and only shot, because everyone says I never get a shot. You probably did.
Yeah.
You know, how prepared are you going to be? And that same thing happened when I met Dave Tate. I knew I wanted to write, and I knew what I wanted to be about strength training and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So before I met Dave, I wrote probably 35 articles. Nowhere to put them. Nowhere to put them. I just like, listen, I know whatever.
Yeah.
I meet Dave Tate. He's like, "You're an English major. Holy shit. You want to write?" I'm like, "Hey, good news, buddy."
Yeah, I'm ready to go.
Yeah, a couple dozen articles if you want. Now, they all sucked, but
I'm writing right now. I've made it a daily habit to write 500 words, and I post it on Medium. It's freaking hard. It's hard.
I suck.
I always go back to that. I like that Hemingway quote about like, you just sit down and bleed, right? Like, I'm like, that's what this is. And
writers write.
Yeah. And so first and foremost, I read The Walk On when it came out a long time ago. Yeah. I resonated with that shit. And, because I'm a big, have you ever seen the movie Moneyball?
Oh yeah.
Dude, like that book. And I love Michael Lewis. I'm reading that book right now. I'll wrap this up too. I don't want to take too much time, but like when you get the right person and that book is about, that story is about, these are the rejects, but we're going to take the rejects and we're going to win. Right.
Yep.
I fucking love that, because you get somebody that maybe, you know, what made Tom Brady, Tom Brady? Was it Bill Belichick? Was it the Patriots? What was it? I don't know. It was just a bunch of shit coming together, and Tom Brady, like, being like, was able to be Tom Brady. Does that happen if he goes to San Diego or wherever? You don't know. That's kind of what's cool about it. But like what you just said right there is, you show up, you do your best. I always do this thought experiment. It's like, if I had to go work at Walmart, could I handle it? Right. And I, every time I go into Walmart, which I hate doing, but I'm like, if you have to work here, you're going to show up and you're going to try to do your best. And if you do your best, something good will happen out of it. Right. And you I think that all the time.
And I think, how long would it take for me to fucking be like anyone else who's moping around?
Yes, I'm like, I know.
I hope that wouldn't be me. Not saying that I would be, you know, Johnny Navy SEAL over there, but I was like, listen, I'm supposed to show up on time. I want to do my work well. And it's easy for me to say, because I haven't had to work a normal job in a long time. So
that's the way I am right now. And I think I'm very grateful for it, because like, I don't love taking orders, but it also means I got to figure out my shit for myself. Right.
Yeah. When I first left Elite FTS, I had I had Mason, my oldest, and I was like, it's not just me.
Yeah. Yeah.
I got mouths to feed, and now I got to be really creative.
Yeah. It was so stressful. That's where I'm at right now.
It's still stressful.
It's going good, but it also, like, pressure, you know, we can go back to the cliche, pressure is a privilege. It's like, it gives you an opportunity to think this thing through. Like, you're not going to get better sitting on the couch. You're not going to get better not doing anything. And this last year, have you ever read, last book reference, The Score Takes Care of Itself by Bill Walsh. Have you ever read that? 49ers head coach.
I know my wife had a Bill Walsh book up here, but I don't think that,
it's, all I right. mean, so, you know, he's the 49ers head coach.
Yeah,
they
know.
Suck. You know what Bill Walsh is. Yeah. But like, they suck, and it's just process. Hey, we're going to focus on the process. And it really is, if you just say, how can I get a little bit better? Not like astronomically,
but I know.
How can I get a
little
bit
405 better? For six to 405 for seven. Maybe my glute ham. Listen, Bill Belichick said it best. Yeah. He's like, well, you've won six Super Bowls, blah, 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 blah. What's your goal? He's like, I want to have a really good Monday practice.
Yeah. Dude, that's friggin' awesome right there.
And I tell the kids, like, listen, don't worry about the games. Let's just worry about what we're doing, because I guarantee we stack those wins, man. We stack those wins. Magically, we beat the shit out of everyone. We played every game this year. You know, we have a running clock rule in Ohio. So okay. If you're up by 30 or more points in the second half, you get a running clock. Every single one of our regular season games had a running clock. In fact, we beat a team so bad they started the clock in the second quarter.
Damn. Yeah.
And I'm telling you, I've never been more proud. And plus we get to go home early. And I always tell the kids, listen, Coach Wendler's got shit to do. He doesn't want to hang out with you guys. So score some points.
Yeah.
Dude, you know, the other thing, real quick, I should say this. Listen, the day and age of building that mental toughness by, you know, pushing the kid's head in the dirt and all that stuff is gone. And I don't know if it ever really worked, if I'm going to be completely honest. It might work for the SEALs and the Green Berets or whatever, the Rangers. But if you want your kids to be mentally tough, give them challenges that they 100% can do, but they don't realize it. And just keep on building that self-esteem. It is unbelievable what happens to a young man when he has success and continued success. And over 4 years, the difference between a kid not being able to look you in the eye and the kid standing tall is unbelievable. Give them small little challenges for 4 years. And that's how you build mental toughness and self-esteem and all that stuff. It's not, you know, making them do 9,000 pushups and then, you know, whipping them or something. So I just, that's another antiquated thing. Like I see it still in college football. You know, they have, when they come back from winter break, they beat the kids down. And it's like, dude, they're not, what's the point?
It's, like, I'm obsessed with this right now.
If you do some curls and the kids look like this, you know how they feel? They feel awesome.
Yeah.
They feel good.
I've become obsessed with this past like month. It's like, I really just think it's we're at this place where our attention is so short, and to get people's attention, everything is hype, that people are just tuning out more and more. And where how you really get to people is being authentic and being real and like being somebody who's going to show up and do and be supportive and do the thing. Right. Like, dude, that's where I'm going to end this with. Cause what you just said is like why I brought you on. Cause it's like, I'm actually like physically scared of you in many ways. I'm like, this guy's fucking, you know, but like, it's really like people, everybody wants to show how hard they are, but like, show me how you're soft. Like, show me how, like you're a kind, compassionate person that still has standards. Right. Because that's what's really matters. Right. So, yeah, man, I appreciate you a ton. Your books have influenced me heavily. You know, you put out a lot of good stuff. You keep it simple in the age of complexity. Where can people find you?
Not at my house. Yeah. Had some weirdos come by a couple times.
Yeah.
Almost every Friday, we do a YouTube live stream. I believe it's 10 a.m. Eastern. Yes. You can come on. I just sit in front of the computer like I am. I just take questions. I absolutely love doing that. It's jimwendler.com. Books, t-shirts, stuff like that. Social media, I'm getting a little better with Instagram and stuff like that. I hired a guy who takes those videos that I do on Friday. And he does YouTube shorts and stuff like that. And he does a tremendous job because I totally foreign to me. And if you are a teenager and want to play football at London High School, hey, we will take care of you. Listen, if you are in this industry, man, you said it in the beginning, you're going to have to do a lot of stuff for free. I still do most of the stuff for free, but I'm able to do that too. But the more you give and more you are in service of others, the better off you're going to be. It will come back triple times. And so just understand, don't seek happiness, seek service. So
service, that's a beautiful way to put it. Service leads to valuing yourself. Right. And it's scary because I think a lot of young people are like, how do I make money if I'm giving everything away? It's like, figure out how to make money so that you can give things away. Right. Yeah. And sometimes that means freaking doing shit that you don't want to do, but that's okay. Right?
I am 1,000%. I believe that if they eliminated income tax, the amount of free stuff that people would do for others would skyrocket.
Dude, Dude,
because I've seen people who suddenly make money, or you know, and they all be able to do this and this, and it. So that's my.
No,
hate the IRS.
I like that theory. Windler, Dave Tate, 2028 or whatever the hell we're at here. Man, I appreciate you a ton. I'll get this up in the near future, and thanks so much for your time.
Appreciate you. Thank you. Have a great day. Okay.
You too. Peace.
All right. Bye-bye.